That was powerful, wasn't it? Hello? Did you have a hard day today? It's a long day. It's the middle of the week. How many of you know you're going to make it? That's right. We're going to make it. I want you to say, I am loved. Now, that's really good. I told my kids, I said, now Daddy just needs to hear somebody say that they love me. My little daughter says, I love me. I think it's such a powerful thing to grasp that God really does love us. I mean, because if you believe God loves you, then you've got to believe that God desires good things for you. And I would even go a step further. It's not just that God desires good things for you. He desires the best things for you. Now, I really want you to hear me, because there's always a few people ready to say, well, then that means, you know, I shouldn't have any problems and everything should be taken care of. Everything should be easy. Your check should be in the mail. All those things. But it means that God is willing to do the absolute best thing in your life for His glory. And that's tough sometimes, because that means some things roll our way that God totally intends to use for His glory. And so I really want you to hear this, because I think the question tonight is that God does love you, but the question is, are you willing to let God have complete control of your life? Complete control of your life. And so that means there's going to be things God's going to tell you. You're going to ask God for some things, and some of those things He's going to say yes. And with that yes comes incredible responsibility. You're going to ask God for some things, and He's going to say no. He's going to say no. But are you really willing tonight to allow Him to use you for His glory? In 1 John chapter 3, John is writing. You got to remember, one of the things that's happening in this church, there are these false teachers. And they're teaching all kinds of things. They're teaching that Jesus never really came in the flesh. We've already covered that. They're teaching that if you are really a Christian, there'll be no sin in your life, that you ought to be perfect if you're a believer. Now, I wonder how many people are lining up to hear that message. Because if that's true, then I guess I'd have to say I'm not saved. Because the as far as the evidence goes for whether or not there's sin in my life, let me just assure you, there's sin in my life. And so these teachers are teaching people in the church that, listen, if you're really a Christian, there can't be any sin in your life. And it comes down to this question, and as I read over 1 John 3 just a bunch of times, because I wonder why John started off the way that he did and then kind of cuts this passage the way that he does. But I got to thinking about it. You see, these teachers are teaching that if there's sin in your life, then that's the evidence that you are not saved. And it comes down to a question of the love that the Father has for you. And so what was happening with some of the people in his church, it was obvious to them that there was sin in their life. And based on what the teachers were teaching, then that means there's no way that they were saved. Now let me just do a check here real quick, because, you know, sometimes on Wednesday night, a lot of holy people come. They usually sit over here on this side. No offense to anybody over there. But how many of you, you know, just would say, man, I know I'm a believer, but there's definitely sin in my life? Almost every one of us. Pastor Tim, was your hand up? You know, I wasn't planning on doing this, but I think it'd be great for Pastor Tim to get up here and just tell us what the sin is in his life. And so we have sin in our life. And so the people in his church, man, they're wondering about this teaching. So John is responding to this heresy that's being taught. And he begins this way. And I love this. He says, 1 John 3, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us
is that it did not know Him. The very first thing, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us? You know, there are probably a lot of questions looming about my life, but one thing is steadfast and certain, and that is that I am loved by God. And how great is the love the Father has lavished on us? Matter of fact, when I think about the road that I've traveled, when I think about the places I've been, when I think about the stupid things that I've done, and God has never cut me off from His love. Never. He has always been there, and His love has always been faithful. And I'll tell you why. Because His love isn't conditioned on who I am. His love is conditioned on who He is. And aren't you so thankful that God has loved us with such an incredible love? And the Bible says that God has demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so you see, with God, it wasn't like a quid pro quo. It was like, I'm going to do this. Even when you're in the state that you're in, I'm going to do this. And Jesus is going to go to the cross. Because a lot of times in the way of the world, it's kind of like, hey, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. But you see, God didn't do that. He demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I was thinking about the message tonight, and I was praying, one of the things I thought, you know, because I'm trying to think, what kind of questions, you know, might some people have about this? Because I always meet somebody who says, you know, you don't understand. There's no way God could love me. You don't know what I've done. And I always want to tell them, listen, if God could love Tim Holmes, Derek Mitz, do you want to say anything, Derek? Okay, he said no. I mean, if God could love Jamie Ward, or I could put any of our names in there, listen, this is an incredible love that God has. Because I want you to know, it didn't add anything to who God is that you and I could know Him personally. There, I'd say it like this, you know, there was nothing in it for God. And what I mean by that is, He didn't need us. He doesn't need us. And so it's incredible that He would make this decision, that He would lavish His love on us. Now, I want you to know, I really believe, a lot of people say it's all about Jesus, but I really believe it's all about Jesus. And I don't believe for a minute that God needs me. I don't think God needs anything. He's self-sufficient, unlike us, who stand in need of some things, don't we? And obviously, greatest need we have when you come to the planet is a need for a Savior. And so John just starts off, because he's reminding them, because some of these teachers have made them feel like, man, if there's a sin in your life, God doesn't want anything to do with you. God's not going to have any part of you if there's sin in your life. And it was questioning, really, the very character of God. It was God who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that I'll always be there, that we could call on Him, that He would forgive us. God has said these things, and these teachers want them to question that, just like some people today, just like we do with ourselves. And so, man, I screw up again, and the first thing I begin to think about is, I wonder where I stand with God. And sometimes I wonder if God still loves me. I mean, I've got to be really honest with you. Sometimes I have those questions in my life. Now, I know, everybody see that? I know the answer to that question. But you know, some days I'm not feeling that answer. And that's what the enemy is about, to get us to begin to question whether or not God can truly love us. So John is just starting off reminding them how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Listen to what he says. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. Did everybody hear that? Because I missed a pronoun there. But you all are just going, we heard. It was profound. Listen, this is so awesome. And what we will be
has not yet been made known. You know why? I mean, I grew up in this little country church, and we used to sing this song all the time in a children's choir, and it goes, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week," this is an audition, "to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Mercury." I hadn't heard that version. It's me lying too. "He's still working on me." And so some of these believers in this church, they felt beat down. They weren't sure, man, does God really love me? And man, I've made so many mistakes. And John says, I want you to know what God has for you. It's not been made known yet. Just wait and see how incredible it is. And I've told you this a gazillion times, but I love to say it. You know, every night when I pray with my kids, I tell them, God has a great plan for your life. And they always say, well, what is it, Daddy? And I always say, I don't know, but it's going to be incredible. You know how I know? Because I know the plan? No, because I know the God. And he is so faithful. And John's just reminding him here, listen, don't get all down because of what you are right now, because God's not done with you. He's still doing a work in your life. So hang in there. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Listen, this God, he is faithful, and he is still working on every one of us. Every one of us. So he's reminding them, what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And so I am working on getting better. And I've got to be honest, it's only by the grace of God that I can get any better. It's only by the grace of God that we can get any better. And so, you know, I don't yell as loud as I used to yell. I don't yell as frequently as I used to yell. I'm not a whole lot more patient on the road, but I'm a little more patient than I used to be. And you know, I'm definitely more loving than I used to be. Because I've been plagued with the same thing most Americans are plagued with, and that is an incredible love for self and an incredible concern for self. And so, you know what though? I'm more loving than I used to be. I care more than I used to care. And I'll tell you, there's no doubt it's God that has done that. You know why? Because he's still working on me. And he's still working on you. And I'm totally trusting God to make me what he wants me to be. Because the Bible says when he appears, guess what? We shall be like him. That doesn't mean that we're God also and that we share that. And there's a lot of celebrities out there that believe that. And that's why they're living in God status now, because they think they're practicing for what it's really going to be like. But it means that I'll be like him, that I'll be perfect. And this sin that I struggle with, I'm not going to struggle with it anymore when he comes. But did you hear that? That's a challenging encouragement. The challenge is you're going to struggle for a while. The encouragement is there's going to come a day when you're not going to struggle anymore. How many of you struggle? See where my holy people are. Okay. Man, I struggle. And I'm just in this journey. I remember one time this couple, they felt like God was calling them to ministry. And they came up to me and my wife and they said, you know, Pastor Jamie, we just feel like God's calling us, but we just think there's one huge problem. And I was like, well, what is it? And they said, we feel like to be in ministry, we'd have to have a marriage that's like your guys's. And I'm getting ready to say something profound and my wife's on the floor laughing. I said, get up, woman. And it didn't work, just like it never works every day. But you know. But man, you know, in that couple, we just shared, hey, we struggle too. And they're like, you guys struggle? I was like, well, just a little bit. I mean, you got to admit, she's a lucky woman. We struggle. But that's the journey. That is the journey. Now, I want to kind of tackle here in about 5 minutes the next thing that John addresses. So let me listen quick and I'll talk fast. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And so you read this, and it's a little troubling when you read it, because it's like, wait a minute, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. And I kind of think, I think I've kept on sinning. Like in a whole lot of areas, I'm doing better, but I got to be honest, there's a few areas I'm doing worse. So what does this mean? And then he goes on to say, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. You see, these teachers were teaching that if you're really a believer, there'd be no sin in your life, that you stop sinning immediately. Well, it kind of, when you read it, it kind of sounds like maybe that's what John's saying, but he's not. He's saying something totally different. Matter of fact, John is talking about the struggle of sin. The verb tense that he uses over and over here is in the present tense. And that means it's just a continuation of not just sin, but the sinful life. And I want you to know there's a difference between sin and the sinful life. And so here's the deal. And I've shared this with you a lot on Wednesday nights. And so this is going to be repetition for a lot of you. But I think in this context, if it never made sense, maybe tonight it'll make sense. And here it is. You see, before I knew Christ, there was sin in my life. And when that sin was in my life, guess how guilty I felt about it? None. I was just waiting for the next moment. The next opportunity for a bigger and better sin, because that's the sinful life. And so as I'm living that life, there's no remorse for sin, because let's face it, if you don't have a relationship with God, then all these things that are sin, they're not an issue, because sin is an offense to God. And I think that's one of the ways we've really erred in raising our children. I don't know about you guys, when I was growing up, you know, I was told 1,000 times not to have sex before marriage. I got so tired of hearing it. I knew, okay, don't have sex. But I wanted to know why. Or really, I wanted to know, why not? That's what I really wanted to know, you know. Because, come on, somebody throw me a bone. Somebody tell me, you know, why. And so everybody would just, oh, yeah, now don't do that. You know, and I remember one time my dad came to my room to have the talk with me. I was like a senior in high school, but, you know, he came, and I remember they were out in the hall, and I could hear Mom and Dad talking. Mom saying, now get in there, Chuck. Just get in there. Just talk to him. You know, well, he never came, but he slid a book under my door. And it had no words. It was just pictures, like cartoon characters. And I didn't know they made cartoon books like that, you know. And I didn't know if somebody snuck in the house. I didn't know what was going on. And then I remember finally talking, and I would hear people at church or different people would say, here's why you don't have sex before you get married. Of course, I'm the boy, so they're talking to me. You might get a girl pregnant. And, you know, that's not funny. I'm kidding. You know, of course, when you're a kid, you're like, yeah, but you might not. But I was never taught, I mean, that is a earthly consequence, you know, of having sex for marriage. Because I got to tell you, nowhere in the Bible were children a curse. Does everybody understand that? So that wasn't punishment from God. Oh, you're having sex. Bam, you're pregnant. Children were always a blessing. However, biology has taught us that when two people come together in such a way, babies are made, right? And so that's like a physical and earthly consequence of that action. Consequence is, for lack of a better word. But here's what I really wanted to know. And here's what I'm going to tell my kids, you know, in like 20 years. You know why you don't have sex before marriage? Because it dishonors God. That's why. There's no greater reason than that. You see, there's a spiritual consequence for sin. And as believers, when there's sin in our life, guess what? There are spiritual consequences. You know what John's talking about here? I'm not continuing in that sinful life, because when there's sin in my life, guess what? When I mess up, when I blow it, and somehow that sin, guess what happens immediately? I feel awful about that sin. I feel a remorse about that sin because of the Holy Spirit. John's not saying that you'll be perfect with Jesus. He's saying that with Jesus, when those things come, God is going to let you know that there's a problem. And so some of you say, I feel like I shouldn't, you know, I mean, somebody will come to me that's a new Christian and say, I feel like I shouldn't be doing this, but I've never heard anybody preach against it, but it just feels like I shouldn't be doing it. And I always say, then stop. That's God. He's a much better discipler than I am. And God always lets me know. You see, what John is saying is, listen, you can trust God with your life. You don't have to worry about standing before God one day, God saying, well, I heard you were doing such and such. And you say, you mean that was wrong? Nobody told me. You don't have to worry about that. People ask me, 478 people came to know Christ here at this church last year. And people say, well, how do you disciple them? Well, we try to get them in Bible study. We make great pathways for those things. But guess who we're trusting really to disciple people? God. And so He always lets me know what shouldn't be in my life. He always lets me know what's wrong. Even when my attitude is a sin, He lets me know that. This is what John's talking about. He's not saying there won't be sin in your life, but he's saying you won't continue. Now, you got to go with this present tense, that you won't continue in the sinful life. You know why? Because you can't. You can't. There'll be sin in your life, and God is going to let you know. So I want my kids to know that premarital sex is not a matter of disease or babies. It's a matter of God. I want those kids to know He created your bodies, and they belong to Him. Not some perverted teenage boy. I've heard about them. Right? But I don't continue in that life because God's reminding me. So here are these people in this church and they're wondering, does God love me? And what John start off saying? How great is the love that the Father has what? Lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. And they're also worried, hey, does God love me? And they also wonder, so man, am I even a Christian? Because there's been sin in my life. And according to what these new teachers are telling me, if there's sin, then I'm not even a believer. And John tells them, have you been continuing in that sinful life? To which they would respond, well, no. Things are way improved. There's still stuff there, though. That's God. It's an incredible reminder, even with sin in our life, even when there's sin in our lives, even when it's blatant sin in our lives, even then in that moment, God reminds us that He loves us. He reminds us that we are His, that we belong to Him. And that thing, whatever that is, that sin, it is an offense to a holy God. So you know what? I don't care much about the earthly consequences, and I don't care much about the physical consequences, but I care a lot about the spiritual consequences. Because I don't want that relationship with God to be hindered. And please hear me, I said hindered. Because the Bible says nothing will separate you from the love of God. Nothing. You can't separate yourself from the love of God. You know why? Because God saved you, and you can't undo what God has done. And there's a lot of people that think they're that powerful, but I want you to know, if you think you can undo what God has done, then you think you're God, you're probably not saved anyway. Is that kind of harsh? Is that kind of tough? Because I'm loved. And I can't get unloved. I can't. And no matter what stupid thing I do, stupid thing I feel, stupid thing I say, some horrible way I treat somebody, we're here at Upward Basketball on Saturday morning, I'm a pastor, remember? Well, I had a few problems with some of the calls that were being made, and I had decided, by the grace of God, that I would just shut my mouth, and I did, till the ref wanted to come and explain a call to me. I didn't ask her to come over to me. I didn't ask her to talk to me, but she talks to me, and I just have to be really honest. I just said some pretty ugly things Saturday morning here at church as a pastor. Now, the beauty of this
is that I'm also in the middle of preaching a revival in Frankfort, Kentucky. So I just came back on Saturday to see my kid's last game, you know, which totally got messed over because the referee, and no, totally kidding. I've scoured the crowd. She's not here, so I can be loose with what I'm saying. But truthfully, I'm in tears all the way to Frankfort. And I'm saying these things that I'm not sure I even believe, but I'm saying, I can't believe I acted like that. I can't believe I said that. This is a volunteer who loves kids and loves Jesus and shows up and gives her time to referee. And I've let her know how I feel. You know why? Because I'm that important. Man, as soon as I get to Frankfort, man, I call my wife and said, you got to find this person's cell phone number. I got to call them now because I got to preach in 2 hours and there's no way I can preach. And I call, her husband answers. I was like, does she have a cell phone? I got to talk to her now. He's like, man, what's going on? I said, I really dishonored your wife this morning. I need to tell you I'm sorry too because you're her husband. And I'm just sorry. And he said, I told her she needs to lighten up anyway. I said, you're a good man. What's her number? And I just told him, I said, please, sir, have her call me as soon as she can because I got to preach tonight. And I'm starting to think that maybe God's not going to let her call. Seriously. Because I'm going to start off saying, we've got to love each other. We've got to embrace each other. And then like I'm going to die on the stage. So finally, I'm sitting there in the hotel room and the phone rings and I pick it up. I'm like, I mean, I'm not even sure if it's her, but I'm like, I'm so sorry. I am such an idiot. And she didn't say anything. That's usually where you say, no, you're not. And she said, Pastor Jamie, I love you and we're fine. I appreciate you saying you're sorry. We're fine. You go preach Jesus tonight. Don't you worry about this. God is so awesome. Because that's not what I deserved. That is not what I deserved. But God is so good. And you know what He always reminds me? That I'm loved. That I am loved. And I want to say this one more time. I can't get unloved. Because He refuses to not love me. And He refuses to give up on me. And He refuses to go back and change all the plans that He has. Because He's so gigantic. That no matter what stupid thing I do, He can always bring it back around so that I'm right where He wants me to be. And so here's the deal. I am not saying, so let's be happy. There can be sin in our life. Woo! I'm not saying that. Because you know if you're a believer, as well as I do, that when there's sin in your life, it's miserable. And it might have been fun for a minute, maybe, all right? But it's miserable. And the Holy Spirit makes me remorseful for that sin in my life. So a couple of things as we get ready for altar tonight. Man, some of you just need to know that you are loved. That God loves you. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you're here because you're trying to work off the sin in your life. Well, I'll go to Wednesday night worship 3 times. I'll do this. And, you know, God won't let you work it off. You can serve. You can give. You can build the children's building for us. And you know what? You haven't worked anything off because God doesn't work that way. You know why He doesn't work that way? Because He loves you. And He doesn't want all the stuff you have to give. He wants you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. If you're here tonight, maybe if you're really honest, you say you've been trying to work it off. I want you to come to the altar tonight. I want you to come to the altar tonight and say, God, I'm tired of trying to work it off. Because I've realized that I can't. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to get what you've been trying to work for as a free gift. Just the reminder that you are loved. Some of you here tonight, and as I've talked about sin, you might just be real honest and say, you know what? I pretty much have just continued in that sinful life. Well, John's told us tonight, you can't be saved and continue in the sinful life. There should be remorse for that sin. And maybe if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe God just kind of, maybe He's opened your eyes tonight. Or He's opened your heart tonight. and made you realize that you need Jesus in your life, man, I'm telling you, that would just thrill everybody here tonight to death. And there's probably many people here tonight that don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I'd encourage you to come to this altar, talk to Pastor Tim or talk to myself. Pastor David's here. And we'd love to talk with you and to pray with you. But I want you to hear me tonight. You are loved. You are loved. And you're loved not because you're you, but because God is God. And He loves you. He loves you. Father, we've hurt ourselves. People have hurt us. We've said horrible things. Horrible things have been said to us. But you love us. We thank you for a cross and a resurrection. We thank you for the truthfulness of your word. Thank you for reminding us tonight that when we feel horrible about the sin that's in our lives, that's you reminding us that you love us. And you're willing to work that through in our lives and to forgive us. And for us to turn and begin to live the way you want us to. So there are those here tonight that don't feel loved. Father, I pray you'd open them up to the truthfulness about the love that you have for them. I pray tonight that people would be saved. I pray there'd be people tonight finally just say, you know what? I can't earn my way to heaven. I've got to have a relationship with Jesus. And that they would seek one of us out just to pray with them. Or Lord, if they already know what they need to do, they'll just come and tell us, hey, God saved me tonight. So Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. Man, this altar is open, and I want to encourage you, come and pray tonight. You come.